It's always a joy to celebrate this Eucharist with you. So here we are on this glorious Sunday morning once again, proclaiming the resurrection of Christ from the dead as the very cornerstone of our life. Today's gospel reminds us of our fundamental purpose. It speaks to us of why we exist, why God created us in the first place, why we get up in the morning. It speaks to us that our central duty, our central obligation, the whole reason we are alive, is to fall head over heels in love with God, and that everything else about us is less important than that. In the daily distractions of our lives, it's so easy to forget that fundamental purpose. It's so easy to think that really I'm just here to earn a paycheck or to raise my family or to get all the household tasks done. But all those things only make sense if they're expressions of that fundamental commandment, that we love God precisely in the daily duties of life. But if we lose that connection between why we're doing it and what we're doing, we end up feeling lost. We end up feeling disconnected. As Catholics, we have this 2,000-year-old mystical tradition of women and men who precisely fell in love with God and struggled to put into words what that felt like, what that looked like. 1,700 years ago, St. John Chrysostom said that falling in love with God is like falling into an ocean of light, only you never hit the bottom because God is infinite. St. Teresa of Avila said falling in love with God is like going to the interior castle of your own soul. And when you finally get to the center, you will discover both your deepest self and the God that abides within you. Catherine of Siena said that falling in love with God is like allowing this all-consuming fire into our heart that at the same time kills us and brings us to life, burning away the false self, who we thought we were, and allowing our true self, who God always called us to be, to come alive. As Christians, we're convicted that falling in love with God looks like Jesus Christ. And so Jesus can only say to us, love God with all of your heart, soul, and mind, because first he did the same, and then he loved us with all of his heart, soul, mind, and life. And so he asks us to do nothing that he himself has not already modeled for us. So when you examine the life of Christ, everything that he did was for the sake of the other. Whether it was the paralyzed man lowered through the roof, the adulterous woman brought before him about to be stoned, the children whom the apostles were shooing away, the hungry crowd that wanted bread and fish and the word of God. In every case, Jesus gives of himself completely, unstintingly, without counting the cost, because he came on a mission of love to us, because God is head over heels in love with us. And finally, when the other was the whole human race locked in sin and death, he died for us. And so we see in the crucifix the love of God on full display, God shedding even the very last drop of his blood in order to win us for the Father, in order to shower upon us the graces of forgiveness and the possibilities of eternal life. And so really today's gospel presents us with a central question. Are we minimalist Catholics or are we maximalist Catholics? Do we ask the question, what can I do for God? Or do we find ourselves asking the question, what must I do in order to be saved? There's not too many things that send me through the roof, but one of them as a priest was, after doing a wedding, when somebody come up and asked, does this Mass count for Sunday? And I always said, no, it doesn't count for Sunday. And I felt like adding, and if you were really in love with God, you wouldn't be asking the question. Because don't we want to come here? Don't we want to experience the love of God in this Eucharist? Those who ask the question, what must I do? What do I have to do? What's the bare minimum? Are not in love yet. They're still living on the level of the law that St. Paul talks about. The law is great, gets us out of bed, gets us to Mass on holy days of obligation. But if we only stay at the level of the law, it's not enough. Because God wants us to fall in love with Him as He is in love with us. And once we experience even a little twinge of God's infinite mercy, we are moved to respond in kind. And we start asking the question, what can I do for you, Lord, you who have done so much for me? How can I love you, Lord, you who love me beyond my imagination and understanding? Those who are in love do crazy things for the beloved. And so one of my favorite passages is the anointing at Bethany, because there we see Mary, the mother, the sister of Martha and Lazarus, spending 300 days' wages on this costly aromatic nard, this perfume. Imagine spending almost a year's salary to buy an expensive gift to show your love for a friend. That's precisely what she does. And it's no one less than Judas Iscariot who criticizes the expense of the gift. He says this money could have been spent on the poor. But it's not the poor he was thinking of. He was thinking of himself. And so right there in that narrative, we have the two attitudes. Mary asking, what can I do for Jesus? Judas asking, what's in this for me? The narrative goes on to say that after Mary spills the perfume, wastes the perfume, the entire house is filled with its fragrance. Are we not called to go into this world and fill the world with the fragrance of Christ? And we do so when we act as the saints, when we no longer count the cost, when we stop asking the question, what do I have to do? And we start asking the question, what can I do? All of you are well on that way, otherwise you wouldn't be here at 8 a.m. on a Sunday morning in October. The Lord has powerfully put His hand on each one of you and has touched your heart to propel you out of bed to come here to glorify Him in this Eucharist. But the adventure of our faith is that we can always go farther. It's never finished. And so whatever level we're at, whatever step we've taken, there's always another step, there's always another level, because as St. John Chrysostom reminds us, God's love is like falling into an ocean without limit. And so it's almost as if the Lord challenges us, how far do you want to go? How deeply do you want to love me? How profoundly do you want to surrender your life? Because I'll take you as far as you want to go. And if you let me, I'll take you into worlds and into experiences and into places that you could never have imagined. We see that in the saints on full display. We pray for the grace today that we may grow in our love for God, that we may grasp just a little more deeply the infinity of His love for us. And when we live that, when we radiate that, it has an effect on the lives of others, as the second reading reminds us. As Paul says to the Thessalonians, your faith has sounded forth. The whole world has taken notice. And so the Lord relies upon us in a way to show to others what faith looks like, what authentic love feels like. And if they see in us some level of integrity, some substance of holiness, their hearts too will be moved to say, there's something in this, because there's something different about that person. Holiness is perennially attractive, because a soul in love with God is like a magnet that draws others to it, not itself, but to the heart of Christ. For the love of God in our lives, we give praise and thanks this morning.